You think you know about relationships, but you're wrong. Listen, there's no magic bullet. I'm teaching life skills.
When you're sick, you need medicine. It don't always taste good.
Nah.
But it'll get you better.
You
need this medicine.
Yeah.
It ain't gonna always taste good. But this is what you need. Men and women, bottom line, we need to have the conversation. Your partner wants to give up control, but only if you know how to drive. This is about being the best you could ever be. Whoever you are, I don't care if you're a man, a woman, LGBTQ, space aliens. I'll save anybody. I don't care. I'll teach a hedgehog how to have a threesome.
What do you mean by that?
Look, you don't have to listen to me, but you're wrong.
Listen, I know I'm great. And I know you're thinking, Dante, there's no way I could be like you. But you could be me, you know why?
Because you know who I was? Before I was me, I was you. You.
Man score 202.
Better hear what I've got to say because you won't get it again.
I'm not an alpha male. I'm not a beta male either. I'm just a better man. Better man.
Well, put your happiness first, because if you don't, they won't.
GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolution is being podcasted, and I am excited. This is a special show. What's up, Harry? You good? Because I don't really want to talk to you. I haven't seen Andre.
What the fuck?
I haven't seen Andre in forever. So this is like Andre's getting famous, and I wanted to talk to Andre. What's going on?
Funny. I'm good, bro. I'm chilling, man. Happy to be here, dude.
Good to have you here, brother. All right, and Harry, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I mean, a lot of things going on, actually. I mean, if we want to get into it.
We'll move right along. We got a special guest in the building. I know I've said that 1,000 times before, but this time I mean it. Gianmarco in the building. Give it up, yo. Give it up.
What up?
Look, you got his album out and shit. Plug your album first, because these motherfuckers need to know what time it is.
Yeah, I got Shelf Life. Shelf Life Amazon special. Just got nominated for an Emmy this morning.
Hell yeah.
Performer. Check it out. I get one penny if I get a billion more streams, so please.
That's dope, man. You're going to be able to retire soon. It's dope. That's dope. Man, it's good to see you, bro. It's also good to see you because I've watched you grow. You know what I mean? Like, I remember when you first, I saw you and you stunk. And then you got real funny now. So I love to see that.
I appreciate it. You've always been nice to me, even when I was bad. And that's what you remember.
I did look at you like this. So it's good to success and stuff like that. Anyway, let's just talk to Andre. I miss my little buddy. Our guy.
Man,
how are you, buddy?
Well, it's good. It's been a good season. I've seen Emmy nominations and shit.
Yeah, since people, Gianmarco's bringing the pain.
Dope. I drove by your sign.
Oh, you did?
He got his face in his window.
So my girlfriend, she lives pretty close to me, and I got
that's a girlfriend's window.
Yeah, well, we live like right by each other, but that's my girlfriend's window.
That's even fucking cooler.
So, there's a company that's called Fathead. They were giving comedians a bunch of free shit. So it's my
head.
And it says, follow me. And it's right by the bridge. And
it's just this motherfucker's face in the window.
The Fathead where they do like the football players and shit. Oh, that's dope.
Fucking, I don't even know. Yeah, that shit.
Wow. That's crazy.
That shit funny as fuck, and it's just in his it's just in the window. You could just drive by the highway.
Did you get one too, Drake?
Yeah, they said they did the cutout shit like that, and then one that stands up. It looked like me in my room, some big motherfucker that just stand there, and then like a sticker. I just put it up. I don't know what to do with it. I might wait until like I have like a road thing and use it in that way. Maybe I don't know.
Yeah, it's big. It's kind of. I had them as kids. I had the Undertaker. I had two Undertakers.
Oh, word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My time, I was fucking with Steve Austin, Stone Cold.
Yeah. Stone Cold. I have at home. So I was wrestling front row. Stone Cold versus Mankind. He poured beer on a Mr. Sacco. He poured beer on it. My dad was like, here. And we got Stone Cold threw it at us. So I have this beer stained Mr. Sacco.
That's probably worth $200,000 or some shit.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
You should go to Antique Roadshow and see what it's worth.
And then I did a show. I'm sure you guys know Mick Foley. He does a lot of comedy shows now.
Yeah.
I
didn't know Mick Foley was you sell it back to him or no?
Yeah. He won all the socks back.
Yo, what you call it? I was just watching fucking Ric Flair. They've been trying to find Harry. They're trying to find the
robe,
the black robe. Is it the black robe? Yeah,
they're trying to find the black butterfly robe. They're doing a lot of that
show.
That what happened? Yeah.
That should be a show. Like
it is.
That's where he saw it.
Yeah.
A&E is doing a bunch.
Knew about this shit.
No. There's a show. I saw. I watch wrestling, but I watch like Bob old Backlund.
Clips. Yeah, you watch old clips.
Chief J. Strongbow, the Wild Samoans.
Yeah, this is why I fuck with. Like, I think Harry would fuck with him too. You, West Side Gun.
Oh yeah. I'm a little rapper. A little
West Side Gun.
Yeah, I'm a little rapper.
He has a wrestling company.
Really?
He has a wrestling
Benny
company.
The Butcher and them niggas, dude.
Yeah. I mean, they're in the same group, but it's really West Side that does the wrestling shit the most.
Hip hop, I love the wrestling, man. The Ric Flair drip, the whole thing. Bro,
for wrestling.
The whole thing. They love Ric Flair. They still love Hulk Hogan in a weird way.
Did he come back? They erased him?
They brought him back. Yeah. They brought him back, and they did it in a very slow, methodical fashion. First of all, they brought him, they brought him when Mean Gene Okerlund died to do the eulogy for Mean Gene. So this
guy could have booed. It's tough to get mad at the eulogy.
Right, yeah, right. Yeah. And then
all the canceled people back.
That's like black people singing gospel at the Apollo.
Yeah.
No matter how much you suck, you can't boo God.
And then
or kids.
Then they brought him back to the Saudi Arabia show. They brought him live in person. Saudi Arabia don't give a fuck. They don't give a fuck about the racism. So they snuck him back in. So now he's back. But he was at WrestleMania this year. He got booed.
He got booed?
Oh, yeah.
People are booing him. The millennials are booing him. They're not forgetting. So good for them. It's a generational thing. They're not letting it go. That shit is out in the ether forever now.
I mean, that organization, you guys saw all the shit with Kenese Mobley, right? You guys know Kenese? Yeah.
What's that?
Oh, yeah.
She's a stand-up comedian and writer. She was hired by the WWE. And when they hire writers, they hired like six comedians. It was kind of crazy. You thought all these wrestlers going to start talking about how hard online dating is or some shit. They hired.
You know, Patrice used to write for them.
Really?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, bro. Back
what
in the
writing
day.
Room, like, though? Is, it, is he just like, what if The Rock fucking hit him with a chair?
Now,
it is,
you know, deep involved relationships and cheating and betrayal and all. I mean, it's a male soap opera.
I'm sure it's fun as fuck to write. Yeah. But this is my understanding of it. They like to have writers who don't necessarily have wrestling experience. Like, they're looking for just writers, you know, to bring in their opinion. And then Kenese happened to talk on a podcast about that she didn't really know a lot about wrestling prior to being hired. Wrestling fans found the podcast, started being like, look at them hiring someone who doesn't know anything about our entertainment. And of course, you know, there's an energy behind it that you question, does this have anything to do with it being a black woman being hired? I don't see this energy being thrust on any other writer.
Yeah.
And then, you know, these companies, they freak out. They get a little bit of social media pushback and they're like, all right, we'll just fire them. So they fired her.
That's the worst.
And, you know, I hope they get fucking fried for it. Because they hired her for having writing experience that wasn't wrestling experience. Again, this is my understanding of it. But then they fucking, you know, they freaked out because of a couple racist assholes in their basement being like, how dare they hire one writer who doesn't know, you know, Goldust's backstory.
But didn't they hire because of that?
And they hired her because she didn't. Yes. It's weird. They have a weird thing over there where they don't want people to be too excited about the product for some reason. It's a very odd thing.
Or they just want some fresh voices to mix it up. Because, you know, fans think that, like, that if they just listen to the fans, it's going to be great. And that's not always true.
That's never true. That's never true. It's never true. I mean, you got to take in what the response is. But people don't know. Come on, Sebastian Maniscalco. Stop it. Let's be honest.
What do you mean?
Wait, what? I mean, fucking, he's hacky. They love him.
Shit, I've seen a couple specials that I liked.
I'd like to open for him.
Bow and arrow shit.
I would operate to open for it too. But you know, it's a thing that it's kind of a mold that comics get in where, you know, you do this recognition comedy. And the record, and it just becomes about that. I mean, Cedric the Entertainer does that. Russell Peters does the same
thing. I just wonder, it's got to be so hard. I'm sure you're like peak fame. And then Netflix is like, hey, can you give us an hour tomorrow? We'll give you $10 million for it. And you're like, oh, I took a weird shit last night. I could expand to 15 minutes maybe.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, his last special, he was like, I went to the gym and I'm running on the treadmill. And I'm like, he's like I'm making dinner and I'm pitting the cherries. And I'm like, who's pitting the cherries like that? You weren't pitting the cherries like that.
He does sell the shit out of anything. He's pretty good at that. That I gotta respect.
I'm going to the bathroom. I'm wiping my ass. I'm wiping. Relax. It's a regular task.
But you get into that little nut, and it's so rich. Like, there's so much money because people want to be lied to. They want to feel great even though they suck. And it's like, you know, the Italians that he's talking about, that's the worst of the fucking, just like when you do black rooms, they talk about the worst of black shit that we can laugh about it amongst ourselves because we get it and it's awful, but it stinks. I mean, he's talking about me. So it's because they want that kind of validation. You know, it's an easy sell. And then as a comic, because he's a good comic. He's a good comic. But then you get stuck into that and you can't get out of that. Like, you're constantly.
He should talk about it. Sebastian should go work some black rooms and try some of that shit about it.
Well, it'll work. Italian shit will work in a black room because, you know, Scarface, all of that.
He should work. I mean, I think that's the challenge, I guess. You got to work rooms where either they don't know who the fuck you are.
Here's where you get the big climb. You got to take Mike Kaplan and let him work Uptown Comedy Club. That's if you can, you could win.
That's opposite.
If you can win that, you learn something. Yeah. And there's definitely a code to winning that. There is a code to winning that. But you taking a lot of fat ones. Especially because you know what I always find in any group, any comedy show that's monolithically ethnic, right? The real point is that you don't have to set up the joke. We all have this lived experience. So all I got to do is do the punchline.
Yeah.
So it makes it so much easier because you're not trying to explain something to somebody who doesn't already know it. You say, you got to get the Edmonds. You know the Edmonds. They all know the same thing. Even if that's not your life, as if you're like uber rich or uber, you know, a tech engineer or something, you still got people like that.
You still that happens to a comic.
It's like, no, I'm saying when you do any monolithically ethnic group.
Like, it's like I remember I was at Brooklyn House of Comedy. Is that the one in Brooklyn?
Yeah, yeah.
There was a DJ, and I just went up, and the music's playing. And I just did this, and it was just like, ah, Def Jam. Ah, I'm already just like boom, boom, right out the gate, and it's because I'm like, I understand.
I get you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I get you. That's
but Dante, you're talking about like not listening necessarily. The audience doesn't always know what they want, right? But that's the same thing with like that thing you said, like don't ask women for dating advice, right? You'd always do that.
Yeah, I mean, you don't, as a woman, you go, don't ask women for dating advice because now you might ask a lesbian dating advice because she's in pursuit. Like you can't ask the deer When you, if you want to know how to hunt, you want to know how to hunt, you ask the hunter. You don't ask the deer. The deer is just being. It just knows that it needs to be there, and it is. It doesn't have to think about it, about what it is. And so you ask somebody who's been failing, losing, and figuring it out in the interim, because they know the pitfalls. Whereas if you ask a woman, all you had to do is I sit by the bar and I dress up nice and. Yeah, because we're hunting you. So how are you going to tell somebody to get somebody who's already sitting at the bar interested? You got to do something. You got to ask the person who's doing it or has done it or even has perfected it. You know, what's going on in your head, Andre?
No, I'm thinking if I ever if I could get advice from who. Like, I feel like advice changes depending on who's giving it. You know what I mean? Like, maybe if a person's more insightful, they can give.
Well, I think more, the hardest thing in the world, when you give advice, it's not, you have to kind of remove yourself from it and see, you have to step in the person, you have to have the empathy to step in the person's shoes and understand where they're coming from. Because otherwise, you don't know, if you don't understand, you know, what that person is feeling, you can't direct them in the right direction because you don't know what fear or whatever is stopping them in the first place. So you gotta empathize with them in a way in order to give them advice. So it's like, it's funny because I do, Jim, I don't know if you know, I do consulting, right?
Oh, yeah.
And one of the dudes who I consulted, well-known comic, I'll tell you who it was afterwards, ended up in a really bad breakup, like bad with a comic, another comic, and it was fucked up. And like, he liked her and he crumbled under the pressure. Called me from Edinburgh, was crying, snot bubbles, the whole shit.
Oh, God.
And then the funny thing is somebody else was in that same position, right? And he was like, "Ah, she's annoying. You know, she's always in a problem." And I'm like, "Dog, you don't remember? Like when I was standing over the well, going, grab my hand, let me help you." And you was like, "I can't." And I was like, "Come on, just a little more." And then the minute you get up on your feet and your life is dope, you just go, "Yeah, that's corny." I'm like, "Son, you like I seen you at your worst." At your absolute worst, and then not have any empathy to that. That I think that bothers me a lot.
Yeah.
You know, that bothers me a lot because I think even when I, you know, when we talk about being a man and how you grow up to be a man and to be a better dude, and I don't mean it toxic. I mean, I fuck around and play, but I don't mean it in a toxic way. You, the empathy of it is more important than anything else.
For sure.
You know, to know, I mean, you still got to have respect for yourself and your boundaries, but you also have to have the empathy about what the woman is going through. What are her concerns and so on. And you got to still remove the emotion from it and your own ego so that you can define what's real and what's really happening underneath. You know, like if you got a guy and he's, you know, if he's like, you get a guy and he's like, maybe he's married and he's henpecked and the wife is giving him the business and he's willing to do anything to get that pressure off him. That's really an estimation of your character overall. Cause if you do that in your relationship, you'll do that in your social life. Mm. You know, if a guy is lying about, if he's lying to some chick about, whether or not he's married or what, then he'll lie to you. All you'd have to do is meet the same desire that he wants to get laid with the desire to fuck you over. And it syncs up. Do you understand what I'm saying? You look baffled.
Sure.
You look baffled like something was on your mind.
No. I was just thinking, you know, I'm in a new relationship now. It's been a long time since I've been in a relationship. And I think about my dad a lot. My dad was a cheater. My dad is a cheater, stone cold. I never knew about it in the moment.
Right.
But you know, it's tracking. Like, my parents were divorced when I was a baby, but you know, that started because he was cheating,
right?
And then, like, other relationships, he was with someone who he had my sister with, and then, like, suddenly I was like, young, but suddenly she got, like, weird, and I'm like, looking back, I'm like, and I haven't confirmed this, but I'm like, oh, he probably got caught cheating, other relationships cheating. He was a good looking guy. Dad was a very good looking dude.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things where I'm like, in contemporary society, I'm like, maybe he would have, like, pursued an open relationship, or, you know, new terms for that.
Yeah. There wasn't room for that.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, he was Italian and traditional. And
imagine trying to explain that as an old school Italian. No, it's a thing. We're still together. No,
they'd be fine with it until you explain the part where their wife gets to do it too. That's when they go, "Whoa!"
And we don't do that. We do soft swinging.
Yeah,
and you don't want her to end up with a black guy by accident. You know what I mean? You don't want that to happen. It's funny how. You know, when
I'm
fucking
polyamorous over here.
We didn't, you know, like, when we first started doing the show, everything was very defined in terms of the gender of male, female. And then we've had, you know, we've had transgender, we've had gay, we've had lesbian, you know, and every somewhere in between. And what you start to realize is there's this dominant and feminine that exists. Even if you call it masculine and feminine, but it's really dominant and subordinate, and that and the dynamics of that kind of it lines up in the same way. Even in a gay relationship, you know who the dominant is and you know who the submissive is, and the same principles kind of work. If you understand, like a woman will always a woman who is the submissive will always want a strong dude. So if she can bully him around, and the stronger she is, the stronger she wants the dude to be. And so if she can bully him around, it's only a matter of time till she's done. She's cutting that dude off, because it's not her job is to push him to test what his strength is. And he has to be confident enough in himself, what he does, how he defines himself to go, no, that I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
And it's a difficult dynamic. How's that work in your relationship?
I find that I'm, you know, I am a feminine man in certain respects. So I feel like there is a, you know, sometimes switching of who's more dominant, who's more submissive. But like, I certainly know from dating that where I would meet a certain woman who like wanted a more dominant man. And I was like, you won't
like me.
You won't dig me.
Yeah.
I remember once I did this show where I did like a play, an interactive play. And I played this Italian Goomba type character. I was replaced by a Vinny from the Jersey Shore. So it was like a masculine role.
Right.
This woman like came up to me after the show, and I was like a dick. I'd walk around and make dirty lines, all this shit. And this woman came up to me like way out of my league, just a different world from me. And I remember she like, we all went out to drinks after the show, and I put on my glasses and I put on my button down. I was like, hi, how are you? And I could see just the
attraction. She was like, oh, this dude is not.
And I thought, like, can I stay in character all the way to, you know, having sex with this woman? But no, I can't.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's definitely like I have a very strong Jewish woman I'm dating now. And I certainly think there is a, you know, it's a trope, a stereotype, but there are the Jewish women. I'm a Jewish man. And sometimes they can be more dominant in certain dynamics. So I think there's a little balance I have to find with most of my.
Yeah. I mean, the balance is fine, but it's what's interesting is, have you ever said that to a girl? Like, oh, you're not going to like me. Like have you actually stopped it and said that?
I don't know. I think they are more in attuned. Like they can feel it before I need to say anything.
Right.
Like
they just but you've never not said that. You've never said that.
No, not directly. I should. I should be more direct. Like, look.
That's why you're asking, right?
Huh? What'd you say?
It would work like opposite. If you say
yeah,
that.
Because if yeah, you say it. That, then that makes you dominant. The confidence is not really what you perceive it as this Italian Goomba. In fact, that guy a lot of times is one of the biggest pussies in the world. I mean, you know, Casino. It's like Cameron, put the gun down. You know, like it's that begets that because you're not really that guy. Like I think they smell the authenticity of it. But if you initially said, yeah, you looking for some dude that's like, because that's kind of what Andre does. Like you looking for dude with problems. Like you want problems. You want drama. I'm not fucking yeah, like, which is, you know, Andre doesn't have that kind of feminine energy, but the fact that he's willing to go, yeah, you're not good enough is the thing that flips the whole dynamic around. You know what I mean?
And I'm not even trying to say that they're not even good enough. It's just like, I'm not interested in the lifestyle that you
that you
want.
Yeah, which is not, I mean, so, this is just, I don't want
about
that.
My business.
I don't want, like, that.
I don't get down like that.
I want better for myself. I don't want to have to look. I don't want to have to get up and get in my car, and the butt of your man's rusty 38 is on my temple. He want to know why I'm in the project. I don't want none of that.
I let it be known, yo. I'm not interested.
Yeah, we not. Yeah, I had a dude call me from England. Did a consultation with him from England. He was like, yeah, I'm a DJ. I'm really working on my career. Like, he one of those huge EDM dudes. Like, yeah. He goes, I met this girl. She approached me. And everything's been cool, but we kind of keep it moving because I'm focused on my career. And she hits him up about that her ex-boyfriend, who's a little crazy, is in town, and we need to, you should, if he tries to follow you on Facebook, block him or some shit. And the dude was like, look, her. Right.
That would make me block you. I'm not talking to you no more.
Now, see,
that, so when a homeboy pop up, I'll be like, son, I've been blocked, shorty. You don't even gotta worry. Man, I have no, you got it, bro. You fucking stupid.
I, you know, this back in the days when I was dancing, I had a bunch of different times a dude would get my business card. He'd be like, yeah, motherfucker, you better watch out messing around with Michelle. And I was like, who? He's like, Michelle. I was like, dog, I know like 20 Michelles. He goes, you know who she had your number. I was like, dog, you wildin'. Like, I don't even know you're broad. Like, why are you? And they, you watch out, I'm going to kill you. I'm like, nigga, you ain't doing nothing. You're coming on calling, are you going to kill me over the phone? Shut up, stupid. But they would call up and get the number, and then that's the, but the strength in it is in what Andre was like, no, I'm blocking you. You come, the drama comes with you. But anyway, what this girl does is they argue about it a little bit, and then she hangs up the phone on him. And I'm like, he goes, you know, but he goes, and I called her back, and then we talked, and she said she was busy. She had to go to work, but I'm supposed to see her in 2 days. He goes, what do I do? I go, break up with her immediately. He goes, well, you know, I said, did you call her back or did she call you back? He goes, I called her back. I go, do you know, did she get disconnected or did, you know, I'm still being reasonable that it wasn't a straight. And he goes, nah, she definitely hung up on me. And I said, well, and this is what I keep talking about, the subtext of understanding what the subtext is in the bigger picture. She got upset and she literally said that, I don't care what's coming out of your mouth. I don't want to hear it. I'm going to hang up on you. And if you never call again, because I know you are going to call again, you ever call again, I have the ability to be abusive to you at any time that I want. And he goes, I said, well, you have to ask yourself, are you willing to be disrespected every time and anytime she wants, whenever she wants, whether or not it's reasonable or not, for the rest of your life? He goes, no. He says, I can't. No, I couldn't. I go, well, that's why you have to break up with her. So and I, one of the things I say is you have to lead with actions. Like we're in such a place where, because everybody's in therapy, everybody's talking about their feelings. When you did this, this made me feel this and this, but half the time people are lying about what their real emotions are because they haven't really explored it in the first place. If my movement is, okay, we need to not be together. And she says nothing, right? She goes, fair enough, and keeps moving. That movement, her not going, hey, I want to work it out, nothing, that tells you everything that you need to know. She don't give a fuck about you. Uh-huh. Your movement of breaking up says this is unacceptable. Her movement of not responding back says, I don't give a fuck about your boundaries. So whatever the fuck you're trying to do, and I don't think you're worthy of fighting for this. So her move. So the subtext is, I'm breaking up with you because this is non-negotiable to me. And her non-response is, I don't give a fuck about what your boundaries are. And then you call back and you go, hey, you know, we should this and da 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 da. And then you start talking again. Understand the deal that you made up front. Anytime she's angry, she could, whether it's reasonable or not, she can hang up the phone on you at any given time. That's what you're signing up for. I go, now if you go, I'm done, this is non-negotiable, and she goes, what do you mean you're done? How are we? I mean, I love you. I want this and that. Now you can have a discussion, but you're negotiating when you know what your leverage is. If you go in going, well, if you do this, then I'm going to leave. You're negotiating without knowing your leverage. And in any business, you always want to know what your leverage is, what you're in is. And the fact that she's willing to fight for you tells you that you matter. And now you can negotiate. You can say, well, listen, is this hanging up shit? I, if this is what we're going to continue to do, if you think that this is okay, then we can't be together.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not about the hanging up.
I had to hang up with, I had a big, you know, I think I could talk about it. It's cool
sure,
now.
Sure.
My girlfriend, she had a birthday, and, you know, we've had a lot of stand-up comedy booking. It's not easy,
been blowing up. Yeah. It's
fucking hard. These conversations are hard. Cause you know, my mentality is like, I got to do it. And if I turn down a spot because we're getting dinner and then I see Usama Siddiqui took it, I'm like, fuck, man. Usama's going to just floor me. He's doing five times the spots. And I ran to Usama after a show one night. He was like on his phone with some girl he was seeing and they were fighting about something. And I was like, all right, so we're all having these conversations.
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing is you, I mean, I could definitely, yeah, I mean, Harry don't have this problem, but Dre is a nigga to go, look, this comedy thing, like you can't. Here's what I used to say back in the day. What did we say, Harry? Before, stop making comedy your side.
Don't make comedy your side, bitch. Treat it like it's your side piece.
Sure, but my regular bitch is mad. She is a side bitch to comedy. It's tough. Well, you know how it is. Like, first, I think I learned birthday that I can take a couple days of the year and go no,
right?
Unless the seller wants me to audition, no. But it's hard, you know, because I tell her all the time, like, listen, I'm at the mercy of some really shitty people. So I know that, like, you made a delicious dinner and I told you my spot was 9:10. Well, guess what? I got there. Show didn't start until 9:10. I'm going up at 10:30. I'm getting back at 11. I'm pissed off. My night got fucked.
Right.
Yeah, and like, I know you're mad, but just so you know, I'm upset already because I got fucked by the people up here. This is not my doing. And it's tough. It's tough.
I don't have that experience.
Yeah, but you know why you don't have that experience? Because right out the gate, you was like, dog, if before there was the lovey-dovey, I love you, it was like, look, if you can't rock with this, yeah, understand.
I introduced it like.
Oh, out the gate. I remember.
Like indoctrinate. I was like, this is I live a certain lifestyle.
Yeah.
I want to let you know up front. Like, I put
Andre
up, like,
talks about it like he's fucking Bane. You know, like,
for real, though, when you, bro.
I was born in the darkness.
There was a difference. There was a time when I had, like, I remember going to school and having, you know, working a side job and then doing a couple spots. And then I remember what it felt like when suddenly I noticed I started to get home at like 4 a.m. every night.
Yeah.
And then I noticed I would, my productivity hours was get up at 12. And then the things that I had to do was different.
Yeah.
So my, my.
Wait, what do you mean by that?
Like I remember like 2012, I had to go to school. I had
You were still in high school?
At this. Yeah. No. I was in community college by 2012. Yeah.
Okay.
I graduated in high school in 2010.
Okay.
So I was that my had to list where I had
God
to
damn, in. I had 10 years when you was graduating. I had 10 years.
I was fucking I'm a baby at that point.
Right.
But yeah, I remember where the switch was of today. My list of things that I must do is these three spots.
Yeah. Well, you know what the thing is, to Gianmarco, I think the thing is, how kind is it? It's so much kinder to tell somebody, look, I love you, but I love this more, right?
That's the struggle. I think there's a feeling of like, you know, being second. And it's really, it's.
And I bring up to stuff too sometimes.
Yeah. No, totally.
I'm not making this world up. This is a really, this is a different world. I'm going to show you.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
You know, since you said you off today and tomorrow, you can stay out like I stay out. Come see how I live.
Well, you know what? I used to take Crazy Dawn out and I used to date this insane. I took her out and one night I had six spots. Like she was in the car asleep after the third one. I got three more joints. You only want to come in. You just recline the seat. You ready to go to sleep? I got three more spots. Then we got to get food and we got to get home. Like,
you thought I was making this up, huh?
Yeah.
Last night I was at a club here in Los Angeles. Right. And I went on and like, I wasn't supposed to go on. I did one show and just stopped by to hang out. And they go, you want to go up? But, you know, we'll put you on at the end. I mean, they did a long ass, like almost 3 hour show and it wasn't all great comics, but she was there with me the whole time. And I was like, you know what? I'm glad you're here. So you know what this is.
See this shit.
Because this is not just because people get this idea that it's hanging out. Like when you say I'm hanging out, it's like, hey, everybody.
They think it's because you're smiling at work, it's not work.
Right. That's true. I'm watching bomb after bomb.
I know porn stars that don't want to go to work sometimes, dog. You'd be
I mean, that one, I'm going to understand. That's work right there. That's fucking the fuck in, bro. Fucking somebody you don't want to.
Sometimes I watch once in a while, like it's porn bloopers.
Yeah. And,
like, that's mad funny just to say.
You really like get a sense of like, oh, fuck, that's work.
Yeah. Like, damn.
You see when they're not fully into it or acting it up, you're like, oh, you just have to get pounded. This guy's got to stay hard for so long.
That's a shift, bro. That's a shift.
Yeah. Yeah. They turn around and then when if it does feel good, you got to change positions. You're doing that.
Yeah, there's a couple where the guy, you know, he finishes too fast, and I'm like, oh man, can you imagine finishing so fast? And the whole crew goes, oh
here we go, we're gonna shoot this shit again.
We're going into OT. God damn
it. Yeah.
And that's pressure to have to, like, everybody's gotta wait while you reload.
Yeah, like, I remember Motor Monster was like, they'll do a liquid fucking Viagra and shoot it in the base of their dick.
Oh, I do not like that.
It's like, so like, sign up if you wanna.
Duncan, you fixed the focus? Oh, you got the focus. Sorry.
Yeah,
and remove that background if you can, please.
You don't like my background?
No, it makes it look like it's an Algerian telethon. I mean, you have an actual studio. We have an actual.
I'm gonna play that goofy horn.
I mean, you look like you're doing the 5 o'clock news in Al Jazeera or whatever.
Yeah, that's better.
That's your kid, but it's still.
I'm moving.
I love Dante, little Dante. You got an actual recording studio. The reason people use digital backgrounds is because they don't have a good background. You have an actual recording studio.
Yo, Dante didn't. I don't know if I didn't tell you, little Dante. He said he don't want to be called Dante anymore. He says just call me Don. So
wow, like, Jesus.
And he got his resume out.
It's extreme for a 2-year old.
Yeah, his resume out. He's got a couple nibbles, but they don't want to come in at the right money. So that little dude, he big. What you call it? Just saw him a couple weeks ago. Ooh. Dre came over.
Oh yeah, a couple days ago. He's a big baby. This kid is gigantic.
That's how he's ready.
Yeah, he was wilding out. But yeah, you can't make it. You can't make comedy your side.
But whatever it is, you can't. I mean, if it's your career,
be honest about
yeah.
it.
No, and I don't get me wrong. First of all, I think she's pretty good in general. It's more just like you got to make up for in other ways. You got to be really caring, or you know, if nights.
Yeah, but don't you want to? I mean, if you like her, isn't that what you want to do anyway?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's funny. You said, I have 3 spots this week. I got to hug this bitch. You know, I got
2 extra hugs. God damn.
I got to go down a little bit longer than planned.
I got to do a hug and 2 forehead kisses while she's sleeping.
Damn, I stayed out long.
Dang, damn. Yeah, I used to make the you know, concession. Be in my head and da, 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 da. And then I was like, Doug, when you know, what does she do for a living?
Well, she's a very successful comedy manager, so she knows.
Oh, so yeah, you can't even.
No, don't get me wrong. She knows. She knows. And she's very like I
see, here's the thing.
You should just be like, every time she asks or brings it up, you should just give her like that straight face of the fuck. You know what we do here.
You know what it is. Come on.
It's not about that. It's not about that.
It's like Doc Rivers getting mad at LeBron for training or some shit. Like you were basketball, you train, what the fuck?
No, she gets it. And she does. I do. I think it's just a matter of like, there's like a birthday is a special day, or I need to like, just be able to be like, look, we're not going to have romantic nights. Let me give you a romantic morning. Let's have a nice, let me take you out to a nice breakfast. Let's take more brunches. You know, that's just what I'm figuring out. It's a new relationship.
Yeah,
and I don't want to be selfish as a comedian, but I do think that, you know, you have to figure out ways to make the other person.
But it's not selfish, dude. It's really not selfish. It is your job. If she was a nurse and she or say if she was a firewoman, right? If she was a fireman or whatever, you're on the wheel. You go in when they tell you to go in. If you're what you call it? Like I know a girl, I was counseling this girl, her boyfriend's is a DT. He's got to go beat black people. It doesn't matter what the fuck happens. What? That's his job. He's got to go
DT?
And beat.
Beat have to DT.
He got to beat.
What is a DT?
No, he's a detective.
Oh, detective. Okay.
He's a detective. He's got to go out, harass and beat black people.
And that takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
If you can't get down with that, I'm not the guy for you.
Yeah.
We just don't fit. But if you had a job, any job that you have, like not even a mechanic, but like fireman, when you're a probie, you work around and you go 3 days on and 2 days or 2 days or 3 days off.
That, bro. I really do believe everything that if you do it to the top of the line, you aim it. You're going to have a lifestyle that comes with it.
Of course.
Like now that I'm like, I remember when I first started, I started comedy at like 18. So I remember the other friends that was in different pursuits.
Yeah.
All young. And then 10 years later, how it look and how they live, whatever the fuck they pick really does come with a whole separate lifestyle. They wake up at a different hour. It's a whole thing.
When I was stripping, I didn't have sex with women until after 2 and before 8.
A lifestyle.
I remember reading Hugh Jackman, who is a performer. Like, he takes Mondays off. Like, it's a hard off. There's nothing he will do.
Right, right.
Ever. And obviously, he's at a place where he gets to tell, you know,
you can do that.
I'm not filming Mondays. But I'm like, I know that this rule came from like a similar conversation I had with my girl on her birthday. Like, listen, bitch, you gotta take Mondays off, Hugh.
I think they right though with that, man. Like,
what do you mean?
That's balance. Because
yeah, I agree. Yeah,
bro, that's what I mean.
You end up on the other side of it where you could be a comic or whatever person that just do whatever the pursuit is to the point that they don't have nothing to recall from. There's no life lived.
All your stories are like, this audience member came up to me after a show.
Just bullshit. It's just like, damn, son, you never had an emotion. You never lived. What the fuck? What are you talking about?
Gianmarco, what you was going to say? An audience member came up to you and said what?
I'm saying, like, that's like, you do stand up and that's all you do every night for your whole life. All your jokes.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Crazy audience member. I was doing this show.
Yeah, I was in this. I was in this hotel in this strip mall waiting to do my gigs, and I went to Blimpie's. You know, I mean,
you can't relate to this shit at all,
other than comics.
Yeah.
Right, but it's interesting.
My friend Kenny Ortega, rest in peace. He took his Mondays off. And he was like, take a day off. Cause I was crazy. You know, when I started doing check spots at LOL, I must've done every check spot there for a year. So all my jokes were like, hey, yeah, you ever doing some jokes while people are getting their checks? And the audience are like, no, we've never experienced that.
Like that type of stuff, I attribute to like a growth pattern. Like there's a time frame where that's necessary. And then you get a chance,
but you earn that. You earn that ability.
It's like a thing you need to go through, and then you hit the next stage and you can change the change the game or something.
But you know, it made it weird. You know, we took this long swath of time off, and like we're all kind of I still feel like, you know, I'm still like getting back in the thing and figuring out where are my places now. And but I felt like pre-COVID, I was starting to get to a place where it's like, okay, maybe I can take Mondays off. And then a year later, I'm like, no. I can't take a moment off ever again because the Delta variant is coming soon and I got to get there now.
Yeah. But you earn that. You earn the ability. Like, you know, like I don't, you know who Danny Howick is? You familiar with who Danny Howick is?
I don't think so.
So years ago, he did a one man show that blew him up, and he was on like sketch shows and stuff. You'll see him every once in a while playing a dick in a movie somewhere. But he got the pool boy episode of Seinfeld.
Okay.
So he was supposed to play it, and they wanted him to do it with a Spanish accent, and he was like, why has he got to be a Spanish dude on the cowboy? Like, look, we just wanted to, he goes like, you know, it's kind of, and this was years ago. I mean, this was probably 2005. So there was none of this, you know, like how, what you call it? You're with the, what happened with the Heights with,
from In the Heights with Lin-Manuel Miranda.
So Lin got, he got smoked because he hired, the Heights is in the Dominican neighborhood. They're all Afro Latinos. They're all dark skinned Afro Latinos. It's very rarely you have white skinned, and all the leads were light skinned Puerto Ricans.
And to be fair, there's some Jews there now too. I didn't see any Jews. Didn't see any homeless people either. You'll see a lot more people in the streets.
Yeah, but it was initially, it was like this Dominican story. And then like back in the days,
they'd be like, shut the fuck up.
You ever see Charlie Chan, the old black and white Charlie Chan? Charlie Chan used to be a white dude. They used to take scotch tape and just, tape his eyes up.
That's the Breakfast at Tiff's.
Say again.
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Breakfast at Tiffany's. That's
Mickey Rooney.
No. This is
not Chinese.
Chinese. Yo, the other dude, who always plays the Indian, the dude
with the Seagal movies,
with the tear,
It'd be white dudes in black face with mops on their heads.
Where was this? What's that?
Mark for Death.
Oh my God, really?
Damn it, man. You in New York. There's mad Jamaicans around.
Chief J. Strongbow. Remember Chief J. Strongbow? The wrestler?
He's
Italian.
So was the guy, you know, the litter Indian, the litter Indian with the single.
Anti-littering
that
campaign,
dude was Italian.
Yeah. Anyway, you were getting into something, Dante. I don't know why. Danny Howick or whatever.
So Danny Howick went to, but that's what it was getting to. They wanted him to do Spanish dude, and he did. So he says, all right, do it the way you want to do it. Chopped him, went and got a Spanish dude, never aired, never called him, nothing, just fired him on the spot. Let him do whatever he wanted to do, fired him, and just didn't put it in and never hired him again.
Brutal.
So it's you earn that ability to take off and still
sure.
And but still,
I,
like,
I think the interesting aspect of it, you talk about her being a manager, right? So she knows the comedy business, but she's still maybe it's not, yeah, it's not even an issue about knowing it. It's about what
if she listens to this, she is a wonderful, wonderful lady. I'm saying, like, understanding it makes sense, but understanding yes or no does not mean you don't feel the human emotion of
sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. No doubt, but I think it has less to do with understanding it.
Ray, I want to hear what you have to say. It's good.
It has less to do with understanding it, but more with maintaining what it is, because you could say it all day. It's like anything, even with your kids, you're like, hey, don't do that. You're going to be in trouble. But if you don't set the boundaries or your system consistently, then it comes up again. It doesn't mean that the person isn't nice or they're not wonderful, but they want something emotionally. Like, I would want him to spend more time with it. So if you don't establish, like, hey, this is what it's going to be, it will come back later on at times. Like, it's just consistency.
Yeah.
Is the way
to make it and make it worse than it is, so that if you find a crack in the pavement where you could grow a little rose up and do something a little special, take like I'm like, yo, this is how it is. It's like, if you can't, then you gotta bounce. And then I would show up on a Saturday. Hey, what you? I would go by, and she would go, well, you ain't got show. You don't gotta go. Nah, I'm just hanging out with you. We're going to go. We got reservations, blah, 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 blah. And then I do it like that. But I don't do it like, I don't want you to think I got to do it. And I want you to appreciate when I do it. So she was like, you don't have to go now. It's almost not like it's not. No, this is our day. Then she's like, are you sure? Are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure.
Funny, whenever I don't have spots, I'm like, baby, I wanted to do this for you. Club, like, hey, if any dropouts, I'll be there any second.
I mean, you know, you earn that. It's like it gets to a point where you're so you need to be honest about what the game is. You got to be honest about what the game is. If you're honest up front, then you don't have to wiggle. And now the emotions, just like what you said, the emotions are there. So you can't ignore that those are emotions, but the boundaries stay the same based on the emotions. The empathy about the emotions is I think sometimes people just want to be seen. They just want you to know that you see them, that you understand that this is how they feel. Yo, let's end this. We're going to do something back behind and finish this conversation, but we're going to do it on the Patreon. Can you hang out for a little bit?
Yeah, I'm all good.
All right, let me plug your social media and all your good stuff.
Please, I'm at Gianmarco Cerezi. Just look me up in the show notes. It's Gianmarco Cerezi on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, all that jazz. And check out my special Shelf Life, Amazon, Spotify, everything.
Dope, man. I saw parts of it, man. Most of it, and I really enjoyed you, man. Really fucking. Dre, talk to me.
You're just, you know, Andre D. Thompson, Slouch Theory. That's it, yo. Link. That's all.
Well, sending you, getting ready to do big things. All day, every day. Harry.
You go to all my stuff at Harry Turjanian, and then just follow Man School on YouTube. That's the big one. YouTube and Instagram.
Harry also doing some big things now. Things are quiet. We got some crazy things going on. Check me out, everything Dante Nero. Y'all know the podcast, Man School 202 on YouTube. Follow me on Instagram. Follow me on YouTube. I'm going to start putting a lot more content on YouTube. GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, What Would Dante Do? The Sexual Revolution is being podcasted. We are out, man. I love y'all. Peace. Man School 202 is created by Dante Nero, hosted by Dante Nero, with Harry Turjanian and Andre D. Thompson, produced by Harry Turjanian, executive producers Matt Kleinschmidt, Harry Turjanian, and Dante Nero.